that praise to Jesus right now. Come on, he's worthy to be praised. Amen, amen. Well, thank you all. Thank you so much, man. I am so excited to share today. I hope you came expecting. This word in me, I just really believe that it's going to shift and it's going to change. I believe it with all my heart. It's been burning on my heart. It's been a burden on my heart. I've been praying for you. But I really believe that this message that God's going to share and he's going to speak to you, I believe that it's going to shift and change this church, shift and change our community, shift and change our high schools, shift and change our country. I believe it. And so I just want to get right into it. And so, but a couple of things I want to do. First is that I want to just give honor to where honor's due. I want to honor Pastor Sam. I know Pastor Sam, Pastor Brenda, you're watching online. And so I just want to honor you and thank you so much for the opportunity to allow me to share today. We love you. I love you. Leah and I love you. We're so thankful for you. And church, I just want you know you have pastors that love and they care about the next generation. Aren't you glad that you have pastors that invest, that do a day like this to just focus on the next generations? We are so honored. Come on, can we make some noise for Pastor Sam, Pastor Brenda? We're blessed to have them as our pastors. And so thank you once again. And also I want to thank our executive team, Pastor Tim, Pastor Doug, Pastor Drew, just for the opportunity to do this. We love you and it's just going to be a great day. I'm believing it's going to be a great day. And then one last thing I got to share and then I'll get into it. But I want to give a little shout out. But I want to give a shout out to my wife, Leah. But today is her birthday. Come on, make some noise for her. Today's her birthday. I was like, baby, I got a surprise for you. I'm preaching on your birthday. Amen. But no, I just appreciate you so much. Love you so much. And if you could, it would just make me so happy if you would just, you know, bless her. Just send a text, send a message just to let her know that she's appreciated on this day. That is her birthday. That'd mean a lot to me. I know it would mean a lot to her. But hey, I'm going to get into it. And so I hope you're ready to receive. Are you ready? Oh, come on. Are you ready? And so I'm going to be in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 1, and I'm going to jump down to verse 6 through 13. And this scripture, I want to just give a little context before, but this is a big scripture, okay? Some of you know who David is, but this is a scripture where Samuel anoints David to become king. And you know, I know a lot of us, we know the story of David and Goliath, but this is a story that comes right before that. So it's very important. And I'm going to be pulling out some parts from this and points from this, I think, that are going to really, truly influence and impact us today. And so I'm going to get right into it. And so if you're ready, say, let's go. Oh, you sound good. You look good. Let's see what God has. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you mourn for Saul, since I have rejected him as king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I'm sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I have chosen one of his sons to be king." Going down to verse 6. When they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I've rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things of people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." Then Jesse called Abinadab and had him pass in front of Samuel. But Samuel said, "The Lord has not chosen this one either." Jesse then had Shema pass by. But Samuel said, "Nor has the Lord chosen this one." Jesse had 7 of his sons pass before Samuel. But Samuel said to him, "The Lord has not chosen these." So he asked Jesse, "Are these all the sons you have?" "There's still the youngest," Jesse answered. "He is tending the sheep," Samuel said. "Send for him. We will not sit down until he arrives." So he sent for him and had him brought in. He was glowing with health and had a fine appearance and handsome features. Then the Lord said, "Rise and anoint him. This is the one." So Samuel took the horn of the oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. The time of my message, if you're taking notes, we take notes in our youth and young adults. We encourage in our youth and young adults. So I hope you take notes today. This is a service you're going to want to take notes. The time of my message, if you're taking notes, is waiting on Samuel. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, waiting on Samuel. let's pray and then let's get into it. God, thank you so much for today. Thank you for all that you've done already through the powerful worship, through our giving. And Lord, I just pray that you would move. I pray that you would use my words. Lord, this day is about the next generation, and I really believe you're going to challenge us. You're going to speak to us, and it's going to be such a power. It's going to be a day I believe we're going to remember and how you changed so many in here. And so, God, use me. Use the rest of this service. Open up the hearts of the next generation. Open up the hearts of the adults, the parents, the grandparents in this room right here, right now. And God, we just thank you so much for the beautiful weather right now. And Lord, we're not going back to winter. In Jesus' name, spring and summer is here saying. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. Amen, amen. Well, I have a quick question. So who here likes asking for help? Raise your hand. You're like, I ask for help a good amount. Raise your hand. You're like, I ask for help from people or from certain situations. Come on, raise your hand. It's okay. You can raise your hand. Okay. Who here, you know, you got to be honest. You know, we're in church. But who here is like, you know what? I don't do a super good job of asking for help. You know, I'd rather kind of do it on my own. Raise your hand. Come on, raise your hand. All right. I like it. A lot of honest people in here. I appreciate it. But the thing is for me is that I love asking for help, all right? I just want you to know, I'm not embarrassed, all right? I'm not ashamed, all right? I'll ask for help when I go to a restaurant. I'll ask for help if I'm in a shoe store or a clothing store. Like, it's something I do, all right? And for example, when I go to a grocery store, all right, it's something I do. The moment I walk in there, because for me, you know, I want to be effective, I want to be efficient, and so the moment I walk into a grocery store, I'll find a worker. I'll go up to him and be like, hey, how's it going? Hey. Nice to meet you. I know you're, you know, pulling away the macaroni, but just quick question. Where are the Pop-Tarts at? Okay. And she's like, oh, it's in aisle 4. I was like, okay, thank you so much. Appreciate it. God bless. And I'll go on my way. All right. And so I love asking for help. But the thing is Leah, she doesn't like when I do that. All right. She's like, Taylor, like, stop. All right. Don't ask for, like, don't do that. You know, it embarrasses me. And you know, just stop bothering them. All right. That's what she says. Just stop bothering them. I'm like, I'm not bothering them. I'm blessing them with a beautiful conversation I know they want, okay? But she's like, stop bothering them. And then she'd be asking me, like, why do you do that? Why do you talk to them? Why do you go in and ask for help so much? And I know some of you are probably asking the same thing. Like, why would you ask for help when you go into the grocery store? Like, you know, just find it yourself. That's what Leah says. But let me explain. And maybe some of the guys can relate with this one. But, you know, when I'm at home, you know, I'll notice that when I need something or, you know, when we run out of something, I'll call out to Leah. I'll be like, Leah, hey, we don't have any more toilet paper. Where's the toilet paper at? And she's like, well, it's in the cabinet to the left. And I was like, okay, sounds good. So I'll go and I'll open the cabinet and I'll look to the left and I can't find it. Okay. I'll look and I'll be like, okay, Are you sure? Yeah, it's right there. Okay. I'll keep looking and I'm like, I can't find it. All right. I don't know. And then she'll literally walk down. She'll walk down and then she'll open the cabinet. And literally 2 seconds after, she's like, Taylor, it's right here. I'd be like, what in the world? How did you find it so quickly? And she's like, Taylor, did you even look? Some of you are, and some ladies, you've said that statement. Did you even look? And I was like, yeah, I looked. I might have been distracted or I might have seen the chips, but to go back to your question, the reason why I ask for help is because I know my weaknesses, all right? I'm not good at finding things. I'm not good at finding things in the house, and especially in the grocery store, I know I'll get lost in there, and so I need help. And the thing is that many of us here, we can think back to maybe a time where someone's helped us. Or we can think of a time where we needed help. You know, for me, my life, where I'm at today, is because of people who chose to help me, because of people that chose to invest in me. I wouldn't be where I am today if it wasn't for those people's help. And the thing is that if you look into the scripture in the story I read you, we find that Samuel is able to help David. Samuel is used by God to help David become the man that God's called him to be. And see, a lot of us, we miss the significance of Samuel in this story. We just focus on David. But the thing is, hear me, is that if it wasn't for Samuel, there would be no David. If it wasn't for Samuel going to David, seeing something in him, calling it out, David would not be the man he is to this day. Samuel helped David. And that's what I want to talk about today, if you're taking notes. I want to talk about how can we help the next generation? How can we help the next generation? Because hear me, there's the next generation needs our help. They're passionate about certain things. They have purposes in them that they want to see come to completion. They want to see incredible things happen in their lives. They have desires. But the thing is that they need our help to get them to where they want to go. And I want to share through this story how we can help them. And so come on, let's get into it. Are you ready? Oh, this story's so good. The story begins, we find that Samuel is mourning the last king, King Saul. If you didn't know what happened in the story, King Saul, he ends up being anointed by Samuel. And Samuel is the one who invested in him, and Samuel was the one that spoke life in him. But the thing is that King Saul chose to go a different direction. And so Samuel is so heartbroken because of his decision. He's mourning the loss of the person that he invested in. And what I want to talk about right here that's going to lead into this next point is I want to focus on that word mourn. Because many of us in here can relate to that word mourn. Hear me. Some of you in here are mourning the next generation. Oh, they're just too far gone, and they're too hard to invest in. They're not going to listen to me, or, you know, I just don't have time to invest in them, and they're just, you know, it's just pointless. It's a waste of time. There's no point to invest. They're too lost. We're mourning the next generation. And others of you in here, hear me. You tried to invest in the next generation. You spent time investing. You poured your heart into them. Maybe even as parents, you poured your heart into your kids, but they chose to go a different direction. They chose to decide to go somewhere else with the information they received. And you're mourning the fact that they chose to live a different life instead of the one that you tried to help them with, the one that you tried to invest in. You're heartbroken. So you say, you know what? I'm not going to try again. I tried once and it didn't work. I invested, but it was just a waste of time. I just feel like I can't do it again. I can't put myself out there. But here, I need you to listen to this. David would not be who he is today if Samuel gave up after Saul. Did you get that? Samuel could have stopped investing in the next generation, investing in the future kings, if he would have gave up after his failure of Saul. And let me just speak life and encouragement, just like God spoke life and encouragement into Samuel. But it's time to get the anointing oil. It's time to get the horn. It's time to go after this next generation. It's time to be used by God again. It's time to stop mourning, and it's time to start moving, because God has something in store for you to invest in this next generation. Come on, you can clap for that. It's time to be sent. It's time to be used. It leads me to the first point. If you were taking notes, here we go. First point, how can we help the next generation? And that is this. And I want to speak to some of the adults here. Is we can help them by investing in them and mentoring them. Let me just talk with you for just a second. Do you mentor a youth or young adult? Do you spend time out of your week, out of your month, to just sit down and have a cup of coffee with somebody and just pour into them? Not charge them, not have an angle of why you spend time with them, but just simply to say, hey, I'm here to help. I want to invest. I want to pour into your life. How can I do that? When was the last time you spent time with someone that you could invest in? And see, some of us were like, you know, I don't have time for that. I'm so busy with my job and I'm so busy with, you know, my parent or being a parent. And I understand you got to invest in your kids, but I'm telling you, there's other kids, there's other youth and young adults that need you. I'm so invested in my work. I'm so, you know, I just don't have much time that I can invest in the next generation. But hear me, you need to get this. What if the future of our church, the future of our country is dependent on our ability to reprioritize and reorganize our time? Some of you are like, what do you mean? Well, follow me. If you look in Judges chapter 2, there's a scary story, honestly a saddening story, but it's a story talking about after Joshua passed. If you don't know who Joshua was the one that was mentored and invested to by Moses. Moses was the man who led the Israelites out of Egypt, and then Joshua led the Israelites into the promised land. But the text says, and you can read it, it says something so scary and heartbreaking. It says that after Joshua passed and his descendants passed, that the next generation grew up not knowing the Lord or what he had done for his people. And if you focus on that word, the couple words, grew up, what you can find is that means that the previous generation before them chose to not make it a priority to invest time and energy into their spiritual development. Oh my goodness. And hear me. Some people believe that the next generation that's coming up is going to be one of the greatest generations that the church has ever seen. Others believe that this generation's too far gone and that there's no point to investing in them and that they're going to actually be the doom of the church. And I believe with all my heart that the answer to one of those directions is found in the adult's ability, the previous generation's ability to spend time with them and invest energy in them, invest and mentor them. We have a responsibility, adults, to help this next generation, to invest and mentor. So my challenge for you, if you're taking notes, is find 1 to 3 youth or young adults and just spend time with them. Mentor them, get coffee with them, hang out with them. Make it a priority so that this generation is not in danger of repeating what we see in Judges chapter 2. The story continues. Oh, it gets better. Oh, this story is so good. The story continues, and we find that Samuel, he goes, and he's with Jesse, and Jesse's like, all right, hey, good to see you, Samuel. I got all my sons lined up, all right? I got him. This one, he's the one. I know it. He's going to be king. And Samuel looks at him. He's like, next. Jesse's like, okay. You know, that was nice. You know, it might make sense. Why did you wear that? Go get something else on, okay? Well, I got another son right here, Samuel. This one's it, all right? He's a little shorter, but it's okay. He can be a short king. It's going to be great, all right? Samuel looks, he's like, next. Jesse's like, okay, how about next. Samuel, do you have any other sons? Jesse's like, well, I got one that's tending to the sheep. Go get him. Okay, goes and gets him. Samuel sees David. He's like, that's the king. That's it, him. Jesse's like, him? Are you sure? Oh, okay, I trust you. I trust God. But hear me. I want to talk to some of the parents here. Oh, this is so good. Jesse wasn't able to see what David had. Oh, you need to get this. Samuel was able to see something in David that Jesse could not see. If it wasn't for Samuel, Jesse wasn't a bad parent, but if it wasn't for Samuel saying that's it, Jesse would have missed it. He would have missed the great thing that was in his son. Oh my goodness. And if you look at How can we help the next generation? I want to talk to some of the parents in here. How can we help the next generation? Parents, is that we need to be open and willing to receive help from others. Parents, I just want to talk with you for a second. I've been working with you for over 12 years. Grandparents too in here. Over 12 years I've been praying with you, been crying with you, talking about what can we do to help your kids? What can we do? And you know, I'm not a parent yet, all right? It might be coming one of these days, praise God, but not yet. All right, take it easy, Leah. You just got married. But I understand what you go through because I've heard your stories and I've heard your concerns and I've seen that you've invested time and you've done everything you can and it just, for some reason, your kids, they're just not getting it. And I just want to encourage you quickly because you don't get encouraged enough, is that you're doing a good job. I just want to encourage you. Come on. Yeah, we can make some noise. It's not easy being a parent. You might feel like you keep missing or you're not doing enough, but I just want to encourage you. You're doing more than you think. So find rest in knowing that, hey, even if you're feeling like you're missing it or you feel like you got a handle on being a parent, hear me. You still need someone else to help you invest in your kids. You still need a Samuel to see the things that you can't see in your kids. See, for me, I love my parents so much. I've been so blessed to have the parents that I have, my mom and my dad. They're watching right now. And it's funny because a lot of times I'll go to them for advice. And some of the parents, you might be able to you know, relate to what I'm about to say. But the thing is, I'll go, you know, there was this one time I was talking with my mom and I was sharing with her. I was like, Mom, I don't really know what to do about this situation. And she's like, well, you know, what you could do is you could talk to this person and do this. And I was like, I don't really know. Like, I just feel like, I don't know if that's the right answer or, you know, I'll see. But thank you, Mom, you know, for the advice. I appreciate it. But I'll talk to you later. And she'll be like, okay, love you. I'll talk to you. And the next day, I'll go and I'll call Alan. Alan's my mentor. And I'll be talking with Alan. And Alan, you know, I'll be like, hey, what do I do about this certain situation? And he's like, well, you could talk to this person and you could do this. And I was like, oh my goodness, that is so brilliant. That's amazing. Like, I didn't really know I should do that. And I just appreciate your advice and your wisdom. And thank you so much for that. And, you know, I love you. And he's like, I love you. And I'll talk to you later. I was like, okay, I'll talk to you later. And hang up. The next day, I'll call my mom. And I'll be like, Mom, I just had a great conversation with Alan. Oh, man, you should have heard what he said. He shared that I should talk to, you know, this person. And I should do this. And she's like, oh, yeah, that sounds great. That's nice. I mean, that's what I said, but it sounds awesome. I'm glad that you had a great conversation with Alan. And I was like, well, actually, yeah, I guess you did say that. But hear me, parents. Listen, it's not that your kids don't value your insight. They just appreciate another voice in their life. They appreciate hearing from somebody maybe outside of the family, hearing from outside of maybe the situation. They truly care about your opinion, but they also want to hear somebody else that they trust. So don't get upset. Don't get offended. It's a moment. It's a moment for us to really realize, hey, we need somebody to speak into our kids. We need somebody to show us, hear me, to show us the good and to show them and us the bad. Hello. Some of us, we think we got prince and princesses up in here. might need some people speaking into them and calling out some things. We need, parents, we need somebody. So my challenge for you, if you're taking notes, my challenge, first thing you could do is you could ask somebody to help you. whether it's a friend that you trust or whether it's a person that you see that it's a godly person in this church, and just go up to them and say, hey, can you help my kids? Can you spend time with my kids? That would mean so much to me. They look up to you. Talk to somebody to maybe help you invest in your kids. The second thing you could do is to position them in places that they could find a mentor or someone to invest in them. You know, that's why I talk so much about the importance of being in youth group or being in a young adult ministry, because yes, it's great for the spiritual development, but the thing is that your kids are going to be surrounded around tons of leaders and spiritual mothers and fathers that can invest in them and help them on their journey. And I know that basketball is important and sports are important and that, you know, the activities after school are important. But the thing is, listen, is that for me, after 15 years later, I don't call Coach Glagie my golf coach. I was with him for 7 years. He was a great golf coach, but I don't call him when I'm going through something. You know who I call and who still texts me to this day 15 years later? John Steinbrecher, my youth leader, who literally prays for me and texts me and says, hey, how are you doing? What can I be praying for you about? We gotta position our kids in places that they can truly find people to invest in them and help them. We can't let them dictate where they always go. Hello. The third thing is this, is encourage your kids to find a mentor and find somebody to invest in them. Start talking about them, about the importance of a mentor, or importance of somebody that can truly help them. Parents, we need help. Don't be afraid to ask for help. It doesn't mean you're not a good parent. It just means that you truly care about your kid getting everything that they can get out of this life. So here we go, last part. Hopefully you're getting something from this. I'm almost done. Going to the last point, here we go. The text continues. And we find that Samuel sees David and he's like, that's it, he's the king. He takes out his anointing oil, takes out his horn, and he anoints him as king. And the Holy Spirit would be upon David from that day forward. But what I find so interesting about this text, it actually makes me laugh, is that this whole time, David doesn't say a word. For some reason, the person that was writing this didn't seem like he should put in if David said anything. You know, there was never like a, wait, why am I being taken away from the sheep? Actually, you know what? I kind of like that. I don't want to spend any more time with them. I'll follow you. Like, there was never like, hey, stop. What are you doing? Why are you pouring oil on my head? All right, it's going to make my acne come back. Like it was nothing. There was no questions. There was nothing from David. But it reveals to us, youth and young person, I need you to listen. It reveals to us that David listened and trusted Samuel. He listened and he said, okay, Samuel, I'll trust you, I'll follow you. Leads me to the third point, here we go. If you're taking notes, third point. And I want to talk to the youth and young adults. You thought you were going to get out. Like, yeah, parent, get it. Nope, it's your turn now. Youth and young adult. And that is this. How do we help the next generation? Next generation, how do you help yourselves? We must be willing to listen and trust those that have gone before us. We must be willing and able to listen and trust them. And I know you're passionate. I know you have desires. I know you want to be an influencer. I know you want to play college ball. I know you have all these things in you. But you can't do it without having somebody there to invest in. Because what you'll do is you'll say, you know what, I can do it on my own. Or, you know, I just don't have time. Like, I don't want to waste time, you know, spending time sitting down. I just have all these things I got to do. And, you know, I got to work harder. I got to go to the gym. I got all these things I got to do. But hear me. Then what ends up happening is you start to make mistakes. And you start to go down paths that you shouldn't go down. That if all you, if you would have just had somebody there saying, hey, no, don't, I wouldn't probably do that. I know you're passionate about that. I don't really think that's it. If you would have just had somebody there and listened and trusted them, it could have helped you avoid a lot of pain and regret. And that's my hope, is I don't want you to continue to go through this life and have regret and pain that you have to deal with just because you weren't able to listen to somebody that wants to help you. And the thing is I know how passionate you are about what you want to do. I know that you're excited about it. I know that you want to go. But listen, there's a scripture that I love. It's a scripture I read when I was young, and I was like, man, that's me, all right? But it's a scripture, and it's found in Proverbs chapter 19, and it talks about the danger of only being passionate or having a desire, but not having wisdom or knowledge along. Look at what scripture says. I want you to see this. This is so important. It says in Proverbs 19:2, it says, desire without knowledge is not good. And whoever makes haste with his feet misses his way. Young person, youth, young adult in here, if you're only led by your passion and desire, but you don't have wisdom to help you, you will fail. But if you have wisdom from God, from others, you'll be so successful, and you'll be able to do so much more than you ever thought or could imagine. You need somebody to help and invest. And the thing is, I know some of you in here, you're like, well, I have some sort of investment, you know, I get information, and I know where you get the information from. You get the information from this. Just talk to me. Just listen for just a second. I'm not trying to bash phones or social media or anything like that, but hear me. I know where you get information. You watch videos, you watch TikToks, you watch YouTube, you get all the information, but hear me, that is not investment. The difference between information and investment is a conversation. And we only take time to get information, but a conversation, hear me, a conversation, you can know character behind the conversation. You can know the integrity. You can know the beliefs. You can know all these things through a conversation sitting face to face with somebody. But you don't know that when you just watch it on your phone. And there's information you're taking in. There's information you're listening to that's not helping you. Like I said, I'm not here to bash phones or social media. I'm on social media, all right? I understand that. But hear me. This is not a place. This is not a place to be invested in. You need somebody that you can sit down with and have coffee with and say, hey, I just need help with this situation. What do you think? Hey, I don't know what to do. I just broke up with this guy and this girl. I don't want to do something stupid. What do I do? A conversation can take you so far. And it's so needed, young person. So my challenge for you is do everything in your power to try to find someone to mentor you. It's not a waste of time. Trust me. The reason I am, because who I am today, is because people mentored me and I went after people that I wanted to invest in my life. And I'm telling you, you need that. You need somebody. So go after that person and allow them to speak to you and trust them and trust the process. So as I close, how do we help the next generation? Well, we help the next generation by investing in them and mentoring them, speaking to the adults. We help the next generation parents by allowing someone else to come and help us as we invest in our kids. And the third thing in next generation is that you are willing to trust and receive the help and listen to those that have gone before you. And the way I want to end, it's a story of Samuel and his time coming to pass. And see, if you look through 1 Samuel, you can find that Samuel and David's relationship continued after this story I just got done reading you. There's many times recorded in Scripture that we find that David would go to Samuel to find refuge or to get advice or to help him in time of need. But the sad reality and the truth came in 1 Samuel chapter 25. You can see it'll be on the screen. 1 Samuel chapter 25. And for me, I'm like, man, they did Samuel kind of dirty on this. After all that he did, but all they said was, now Samuel died. And then there's one other verse about Samuel, and that's it. I was like, man, after all he did, he invested in King Saul, he invested in David, and that's all he got. Like, that's it. Samuel died. But what's so interesting is that if you look down to the story, you find that something takes place. And that is that David has a little bit of an altercation with a man named Nabal. To shorten the story, Nabal offends David, and David gets really mad, and so he's like, you know what, I'm going to go and kill Nabal, and I'm going to kill all of his people. But thank goodness, Abigail comes and says, hey, no, David, don't do this. This is not the way. And David chooses to not do what he said he would do. But what I find so interesting is that the chapter before, we find that David has the opportunity to kill King Saul. King Saul's pursuing him. King Saul is going after him. And he has an opportunity to take him out. And he says, no, I'm not going to kill King Saul. It's not my time. It's not the thing I should do. I need to honor my king. I will not do it. And when I read those stories and I look at them and I say, well, what changed? How does David go from being a man who resists killing the person that's trying to kill him to then wanting to kill Nabal for just simply offending him? And what scholars reveal to us, if you study this scripture, it's so interesting. And why they believe that Samuel just had a small verse, but that they went into this story, was to reveal to us that the change that happened in David's life between not killing to wanting to kill was connected to the fact that he had just lost his mentor. That he just lost the person that he would confide in, the person that he would go to and ask for help or what should I do. He had just lost that person because he didn't have that voice in his life. He almost made a mistake that would have changed the course of his life. After reading this story, it reveals to us, and then I'm done. I have something special I want to share with you. It reveals to us that it doesn't matter how talented you might be, young person. It doesn't matter how far you might think you are. It doesn't matter what you've done in your past. It doesn't matter what you've done to accomplish the success or the beauty or whatever it is. Every single person in this room, and especially the next generation, needs a voice in their life. Needs somebody to speak into them. And what I want to do is I want to give one of our students that comes to our youth group to share what's happened in her life, what God's done in her life, but then also the importance of having somebody that she had in her life. So can you quickly make some noise for Ashley as she comes? Come on, make some noise for Ashley. I just want you to share quickly about what God's done in your life.
So for me, I didn't really grow up around a Christian community. So for a good chunk of my life, I didn't really know Jesus. Through my early stages of high school, I grew very depressed, broken, and hopeless. I lacked purpose, and most nights were battles with my own mind. One night, I was invited to the Wednesday night youth group here by my friends, and that's when I began to learn more about having an actual relationship with Jesus. One night, God found me at my lowest point in my life. I thought that I didn't deserve to live, and that I thought that there was nothing left for me. I sat there crying and begging God to help me and take the suffering away. Ever since that night, God began to transform my life. He continued to bless me in the most imaginable ways. The joy of the Lord saved me from a dark place and set me free from depression. He gave me a purpose to live and a gift to spread the word.
So, before you go, share with me who has invested in your life and how that person has invested in your life.
So, someone who has invested in my life is my small group leader, Angel. I truly don't know where I'd be without Angel. Angel has been an absolute gift in my life, and she is always someone I can talk to. I never fear judgment by her, and there isn't a time where she isn't willing to help. Angel has spent countless hours helping with me with things like writing my short sermons for fine arts. She would take time out of her days, call me, and find a time during church to pour into me and my relationship with Jesus. She checks up on me, especially when I'm going through a hard time, and often prays over me. When I need advice or someone to talk to, she's always willing to sit on the phone and listen. After all, we do call her Mama Angel, and I am truly thankful for her investment in my life.
Come on, make some noise for Angel and for Ashley. That's so great. So powerful. And see, the thing is, and I want you to hear this, is you might think, oh, well, that's, you know, that's the youth ministry, and, you know, that's, she's a leader there, and, you know, I don't necessarily have time to help the youth ministry or to be a leader. But hear me, this message, it wasn't just for the youth ministry. It wasn't just for the church or you got to be a leader at the church. No, this message is for the businessman, for the businesswoman, for the teacher, for the entrepreneur. This message is for the pastor. This message is for every single one of us to take responsibility and do what Angel just did. And pour her heart into somebody. Doesn't get anything in return. Just says, hey, I want to help you. That is a call that every single one of us can take. That is a responsibility that every single one of us can step into. Will you be a Samuel to somebody? There's David's. There's Danielle's. Waiting on you to come and speak into their lives. To come and speak and show them what they can't see and to invest and help them, get them to where they need to be. Will you be that person? And young person, will you be willing to receive that help? Can I pray for you?